From the Palestine News Network, I'm Kristen S. with This Week in Review for the 27th of February through the 5th of March, 2009. The Palestinian Donors Conference in the Egyptian resort town of Sharm el-Sheikh raised approximately $5 billion this week for the reconstruction of Gaza after 23 days of Israeli bombing and 2.5 years of siege, which the Strip has yet to recover from. Fedi Abu Sada was among the journalists expected to attend.
Fedi Abu Sada, you were supposed to go as a guest of the U.S. to the Donors Conference in Sharm el-Sheikh.
I was nominated as a Palestinian blogger to join the traveling media with Mrs. Clinton. And I was told that everything is okay and my name is at the Sharm airport, so I could get in because I'm under 40 and needs a visa unless it's official visit like this one. So when I arrived at Sharm airport, I was told by the Egyptian state security that my name is not at the airport, so I was detained to enter. And they were very frank and told me, whatever you have connections, it could be solved. You just go, sit down, have a coffee and begin calling the people you know. If you succeed, you're most welcome to Egypt. So it didn't work out. The U.S. Embassy in Cairo and the U.S. Consulate in Jerusalem have told me that they done their best, but it didn't work out. But for me, I still didn't believe that. I believe that they could do it if they pressure more and follow the papers that they sent to the foreign ministry in Egypt and the state security. But actually, after Mrs. Clinton's arrival to Sharm, I was forgotten at the airport.
The Palestinian delegation did not bring with it Palestinian journalists. You were invited by the Americans.
What I felt is bad is not so. I felt bad because the Palestinians didn't take journalists with them, official group of journalist delegation, and the other countries took their journalists and even invited foreign journalists or bloggers to join them. So I do felt a pity that somebody appreciate you, but not your people.
You were waiting 25 hours in the airport in Egypt in order to return home. They said to fly home. But of course, you weren't flying home, which is the West Bank. You were flying to Jordan. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I was told that I will sent to Amman with the first flight with Royal Jordanian, the airways that I used. And the other flight was after 25 hours. The Egyptians were really respectful. To me, an Egyptian policeman joined me and they were changing every 8 hours. So I met three of them and I was staying in a canteen, which is the smoking area because I couldn't handle 25 hours without smoking. And yeah, they sent me to the flight until they make sure I left the airport. Only airport was in Gaza and it was destroyed by the Israelis. So I have to leave from Bethlehem to Jericho, which is the borders, and to pass Palestinians, Israelis, Jordanian borders. From the Jordanian border to Amman, I have to stay over the night, then to take the flight to Sharm. And it's the same way back.
And do you want to talk about the outcome of the donors conference or what do you feel about the donors conference, considering that several billion dollars were raised, but the way that those billions of dollars are going to be used is very controlled. It's not open to the Palestinians necessarily to decide how to use that money.
I do know that even the Palestinian Authority, neither Hamas will get the money. The money will go through PEGAS, which is the European mechanism to the Palestinians, and through a Gulf bank, which is the Islamic investment bank, I guess, and the UN mechanisms. About the amount, I was shocked with the amount. And I guess we reached this amount because the whole world knows that they are not rebuilding Gaza only. They are paying a tax of the Palestinian under occupation. It's a political issue, yes, but I didn't see it as a controlled money. It is a political money, yes, and it's not just for rebuilding Gaza or supporting the Palestinian Authority or supporting Palestinians. They have to keep paying until they succeed to solve the whole struggle from the beginning.
Thank you, Fedi Abu Sada.
Shukran, Kristinis.
Israeli forces continue random firing into the Strip, injuring 2 people today and killing 2 others earlier in the week. The crossings are largely closed, leaving the tunnels the only recourse, where 5 people were killed this week during collapses from the heavy rains that had the northwestern West Bank's Tulkorum a flooding. In western Ramallah's Bilayin village, Israeli settlers burned the Center for Peace, a room that residents had kept a round-the-clock presence in to protect their land. It was just 2 months ago that Israeli soldiers forced them out at night, leaving the land unprotected, with only soldiers and settlers present. It was during this time that the settlers burned the Center for Peace. Iyad Burnett of the Popular Committee Against the Wall says they will rebuild. On Friday, during the weekly nonviolent demonstration held for the past 4 years, dozens of Bilayin residents braved pelting rains. Israeli soldiers began firing gas before they were 250 meters outside the town center. A little girl, 4 years old, says she plans to become a doctor in the future. Her purpose, she says, is to help the people who are injured by the gas and bullets from the soldiers, to give the people medicine.
This is Dr. Roshan Asir, Ali Balrobun, Ajnud Anas Ghazi Asir Atilhim Dawa.
Her father is Iyad Burnett, director of the Popular Committee Against the Wall. Of course, today is the weekly demonstration like we have every week, every Friday in Bilayin. For the past 4 years, we've been having a people's resistance. Every Friday after prayers, we go to the wall here around our land. The army shoots at us, gas bombs and bullets, concussion grenades. We have injuries every week, but we're steadfast in our resistance, in our protest, in our people's ability to struggle against this wall. I was imprisoned 8 times. They would break into our house at night, take me for 24 hours, 3 days, like this, to stop the demonstrations. They're always harassing the leaders of the resistance in order to stop our resistance. But I'll say again, we are steadfast in our resistance. We won't stop. At the hands of Israeli forces, injuries are rampant among the Palestinian nonviolent resistance movement. Hamis Abu Rahma was shot in the head just 3 weeks ago. Israeli soldiers prevented help from reaching him immediately. He laid on the ground comatose for 15 minutes. The 26-year-old is out of the hospital now and recovering in his family's living room. He wears a hat to cover the split in his skull and does exercises to regain the use of his hand. We demonstrate because of our land, because they stole it, put the wall on it. We are demonstrating for the return of our land. We were on our way to the demonstration against the wall. We were just starting out, and they were shooting gas and bullets at us. We ran back, and they ran at us. We were right here, near the house. The soldiers climbed out of their jeeps. They fired 3 gas canisters from a close range, 20 meters. The first one hit my hand. The second hit me in the head. The third hit the ground. I hit the ground. I went to the hospital. I stayed there for a week. His mother says they can no longer reach the land they once lived from. You're listening to This Week in Review on the Palestine News Network. For more news, see english.pnn.ps. The whole of East Jerusalem is being overtaken by Israeli policy. In the West Bank, 73,000 more housing units are in the discussion stages of being built, which doubles the settler population. The Israeli Housing Ministry says it did not approve the building, but this is often the case as funds come easily from the settler movement. In East Jerusalem's Silwan, to the south of Al-Aqsa Mosque, the situation remains critical. It was in January that the UNRWA school partially collapsed due to tunneling, and at least 40 houses were reported to be sinking. home demolition orders are to be enforced in the El Bustan area of Silwan, where a sit-in tent is trying to protect against the destruction of the neighborhood. Israeli settlers are also overtaking dozens more houses in the area. This East Jerusalem neighborhood is being forcibly converted into the City of David, along with the cleansing of the entire city of its native Palestinian population. Abid Shaludi is a Silwan resident who is not part of the El Bustan debacle. He lives next door. His home is being overtaken by settlers.
My name is Abid Shaludi. Yes, I do live in Silwan.
Can you tell me the situation with your home?
Well, actually, I don't live in the neighborhood of Bustan that had the demolishing order in the year 2005. I live nearby, but I have another problem with the settlers, which is going to take me out of my house. And for us, it's the same. To demolish a house or to take over a house, it's the same.
Problems similar to that with Silwan can be found in neighborhoods throughout East Jerusalem that began years ago. The slow and steady process of ethnic cleansing that includes an Israeli law called absentee property, which deems Palestinian land Israeli if the resident is outside of the city, no matter the reason, including marriage or force.
I'll talk about the village of Silwan, which is the nearest village to the mosque. We have more than 50,000 people that live in that village. Part of the village that the settlers that started at the year 90 to take over the houses by buying them sometimes from through collaborators and other buying was through an institute in Israel called the Guard of the Absentees Property, which is that institute sells these houses to the settlers, and the settlers are taking out the people of the houses. One of these fights that we had with the settlers, at the year 90, the owner of a few houses in Silwan died, and while they are her family preparing her to take her to the funeral, one of the family, and he was a collaborator, he stamped their fingers in white papers, and we found after 2 years that the settlers are taking over that complex of houses. Now, I must add that the Israeli court documented and ordered the settlers to get out of these houses because they said all what's been done, and they improved that all this forgery. But, of course, the settlers are still there, and they are building in that complex. Nobody talks to them.
All of Silwan is under threat of destruction for Israeli religious and political aspirations. Resident Abid Shaludi continues and points out that funding for the years of projects against Silwan are coming from the settler movement.
It's not only a regular demolishing order that the municipality had for these 88 houses. First of all, in Silwan, there's more than 200 demolishing orders in hold. So it's not only the Bustan, but what makes the Bustan unique is this case, that they are going to demolish these houses and confiscate the land. And why? Because they want to make an archaeological park, the King David Archaeological Park, which is part of a huge plan to make the nearby neighborhood, which is called for us Wadi Helwe, they called it Deir David, the city of David. And according to them, and their history, at least this extremist settlers, they are going to re-rise the idea of building the new King's David kingdom in Jerusalem, in the old city, and build the King's Garden in the area of the Bustan. Of course, there's the neighborhood between the Bustan and the old city, Wadi Helwe, they're going to make it the city of David, which is mean that it's a political decision. It's not about the demolishing houses. It's definitely a political issue, because we knew recently, too, that this plan, which is called 2020, talking about building the Holy Basin, they called it like that, it's from the Hebrew University, going down to the neighborhood of Wadi El-Jouz, through the valley of Silwan, and then inside the Bustan, going back towards the Mount of Zion. And we knew that the settlers funding most of this project.
Silwan residents are in a sit-in tent along with dozens of supporters in an effort to save their homes and land. The need for international and Arab intervention against the occupation is critical throughout historic Palestine. On the Palestine News Network, you've been listening to This Week in Review on March 5th, 2009, with engineers Shiraz Rishmawi and Samir Saad. I'm Kristen S.